Queen Esti of Amica had told her husband that she would not return to her realm. Surely he knew that she had meant Malares and Amica's desire, her city and her castle fortress. She had to go through Amica. Her road to the last repository crossed out of Bellinger at Fivebridge. Past the Line River, it turned eastward toward the vast desert and the place where its newest stretches crossed the river's gorge. There, the theurgies of the repository had built a bridge in the desert long ago, a crossing for caravans like Set Ungabwe's. Now it was sustained by a version of the same sorcery that kept the caravan track through the desert clear. In its way, the road was the crowning achievement of Esti's reign. It had cost her a number of years, the hard sweat of hundreds of workmen, and finally her father's direct opposition. But now it was complete. A comparatively direct link between Bellinger, Amica, and the treasure house of knowledge that was the last repository. Her road would take her to her goal with an ease and quickness that would have been inconceivable a decade ago. Under better circumstances, she might have been proud of what she had accomplished. Now she had no time for pride. The great god was coming. He might extinguish every life in Amica, Bellinger, and the Hidden Library. When she thought about her road at all, she was grateful that it enabled her to travel swiftly. She had too little time. Magister Facile had assured her that she, Esti, would learn the secret of her own nature in the library. There, other magisters would be able to identify the Queen of Amica's sleeping gift for theurgy. And when she knew what it was, she would also know whether she wanted it awakened. If she decided that she craved the use of her talent, those sorcerers would be able to deliver her true inheritance at last, the legacy that her father had concealed from her since the day she was born. Before she and King Bifalt had parted, she had been honest with him. "I told myself that I was waiting for you. I waited for the day when you would choose to love me. But now I know the truth. I have been waiting to find out who I am." Now, she was eager to learn the truth. For the same reason, she was also afraid. Her gift might prove to be a small one, useless in a time of war. And her husband loathed sorcery. He distrusted all sorcerers. Choosing to awaken her talent would mean turning her back on him. She could not forget the clenched anguish in his voice and face, in the blood on his mouth and the fire of his gaze when he had protested, "I will never see you again." Her eagerness seemed indistinguishable from dread. Nevertheless, she had other reasons for haste, better ones. While she was away, King Bifalt would be fighting battles that he could not hope to win. If she had not spent long years learning to compose herself, she would have been frantic to reach the repository. She believed that the theurgists there had the power to save King Bifalt's realm and his life. She was riding in her personal carriage, a sturdy conveyance made for hard use and long trips, rather than for the ostentation her dead father had preferred. Drawn by four dray horses, it was large enough to seat six people with space to spare. It carried enough food and water for several days, and it had cabinets that could be opened to serve as bunks. Thanks to the care with which the stones of the roadbed had been fitted, the iron-shot wheels rolled smoothly, and springs on the axles softened the inevitable jolts. Even a weary old woman like Magister Facile could make her way to the last repository without discomfort. There were 20 Amican soldiers in the Queen's escort, men she had known long enough to trust. In particular, she had learned a fondness for their officer, Commander Crane. With his sandstone eyes, his instinctive tact, and his willingness to question her decisions when they worried him, he suited her. He would keep her safe, care for her ordinary needs, and accompany her in silence when she wanted to be left alone. Her fellow passengers were another matter. Oh, they were silent enough. But the character of their silence did not ease Esti's impulse to fret.